Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. It's Friday night, and we are here for Faith for Family. We do this every Friday night at 6:30 p.m., and it's a wonderful thing for you to be here with me. I honor my mother tonight, the counselor, the overseer, Charmaine Coleman. We thank God for her, and we honor everybody, every leader that's on the line tonight, everybody that's represented here. We pray that you would gather your family. If you have not had a chance to invite somebody, do that tonight. Invite somebody for tonight's broadcast and share, allow them to hear the word that you've been hearing. We thank God for the countries that are listening in. We've been checking you out. We see where you're listening in from. A lot of amazing places are listening across the waters, and so we're excited to have you here at Faith for Family and on our prophetic roundtable and everywhere else you're listening, whatever else you're listening to on this broadcast station. We're excited to have you, and we're pleased to be connected in this season. I believe that God is divinely connecting his people across state lines, across city streets. It's just an amazing thing in this hour that we're coming in contact with our families. We are actually gathering with our tribes in this season. God is gathering us together so that we can become the people that God has called us to be, more mature people, all of the gifts operating and working together. The body is becoming fitly joined, and every joint is supplying, and we're going to become the perfect man that God has designed us to be from the very beginning. So again, go ahead and invite somebody tonight. Listen, we're still on our subject, sex and context. We're on part four, and what we're going to talk about tonight, is guardian of the gates. This is an imperative part of sex and context. You got to be able to guard the gates, and so we're going to talk about that tonight on the broadcast. Lots of things came to my mind. When we talk about context, it's important to understand. You've never done a puzzle before. They could be a child's puzzle. It could be an older person's puzzle. But there are some things that you're in search of to get information to identify what the discussion is. And so in order for you to get the discussion to understand the content, then you have to understand the context. So you have to go and pull all that together. Nothing like words being all over a page. You can have a bunch of ideas and a bunch of phrases, but until you actually put it in the proper context, it's just a bunch of random content. And so it's an exciting time tonight to understand that we don't have to go in search of something tonight. We don't have to try to figure out what God's plan and what his plan is, what his desire is for us. He's already written that content, and it's in its proper context so that we can get the meaning. And those things that we don't understand, we can simply just ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in all truth. That's his job. He's not just a comforter. He is a leader into truth, and so he searches the deep things of God. So there are things that we were not taught, things that were not made available to us, but there are things that we've been through that now that we're at this stage of the game, God is now revealing those things that were once secret things to us, but now they are the keys to our success in this season. So context is important. And we're going to talk about guardians really quickly. Guardians, let's talk about that. I'm going to pull up the definition for guardian really quickly. The word guardian denotes a defender. It talks about somebody that's a protector. It shows the character of a keeper. Again, a defender, a protector, or keeper. God is talking about us guarding the gates tonight. And one of the secondary titles that I thought of when I was dealing with this topic, and I probably will deal with this sometime on Monday in the prophetic roundtable, because God is causing us to learn how to guard our gates so that we can guard the galaxies. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is exciting to me, okay? He's teaching us how to guard our gates, our personal gates. And then after we have learned how to be the lords of our land, the guardians, the protectors, those that will defend and keep our own selves. Because, see, when we start dealing with dominion, it requires a certain amount of self-discipline. It requires a certain amount of self-denial. All of that stuff is a part of being a defender and a keeper. You have to deny something access in order to keep it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So it first begins with us as individuals being able to have reign and dominion over our own domicile, over our own land, which is our bodies. We are the lords of our lands, and then God has given us dominion over the earth. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But beyond that, after we've become good managers of the things that God has placed in our hands, then he desires to make us lords of the galaxy, guardians of the galaxy, gods of the galaxy, so to speak. Okay, guards of the galaxy, so to speak. So this is important that we learn how to do this. You know, there is a conversation in different parts of the country that talk about a war on terror. Particularly, we have that here in the U.S., you know, a war on terror. But there's a spiritual war, terror. And today, we terrorize our terrorizers, absolutely. And we've got spiritual surveillance that is 24/7 around the clock. It's better than cameras on your house. It's better than, you know, guards at your door. We've got spiritual surveillance that allows us to not only deal with the enemies that we see, but the ones that are unseen as well. And a lot of times people are so focused on what they see. That's why a lot of people are always talking about haters. They, you know, this thing about haters. I'm not from that school of thought. You know, I was so green, you know, back in my day. I didn't even really know people didn't like me. You know what I'm saying? And I think I was better off not knowing that. I mean, just not caring about that, because it's really so insignificant at the end of the day. At the end of the day, in the grand scheme of things, how does that benefit you one way or another, knowing or even responding to the fact that someone does or doesn't like you, that someone is or is not your enemy? Now, I'm not saying that you should be ignorant, because we should not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. However, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, so it's important that we understand that this fight is a spiritual fight. That's why there's a spiritual war on terror in this hour. I believe that the enemy is he's kind of pulling back a little bit. What he's doing right now, he's doing things that are aggravated. He's aggravating situations. He's aggravating situations because he really knows that he can't stop you at this point. You've gone too far now to turn around. And I love something that my brother, Prophet Anthony J. Wells, says this. He said, you've gone too far to be normal now. You can't turn around. You've done too much. You've seen too much. Now you can't be normal again. It's too late. So it's important that we understand that there are both seen and unseen enemies. You know, we call them those inner me's. God desires for us to deal with the things on the inner man. And that's what we've been dealing with over the course of the festivals, God's appointed times in our fall festivals of this year. That's what's been being dealt with. The trumpets were blown about a month ago, and that was the recognition and the remembrance. That was the sound that was to remind us of the goodness of God. It was the sound that was to terrorize our enemies. It was the sound that was a shout of victory. We had the Feast of Trumpets. We also did Yom Teruah, which was before the Feast of Trumpets. And now we are in the season of Sukkot, which is the remembrance of going through that wilderness place and coming into the promise. And that's where we are. I promise you, this is important because of this fact. Once you begin to realize self-denial, once you begin to realize the value of who you are and the value of what God has called you to, then you'll be able to understand the deliverance that God has provided for you and walk into the promise. It'll cause you to guard your gates in a different way. But we've got heaven surveillance, the Holy Ghost. He leads and guides us into all truth. And, you know, like I know if you've ever seen a movie, you see those scenes, the guy that goes into the enemy's territory. And he's not fully aware of the schematics of the building or whatever, but there's someone that's doing the surveillance that is watching for him, and they're giving him blow by blow play-by-play instructions. This is how the Holy Spirit works. We don't have to try to figure it out for ourselves. He is on the set, and he's letting us know, turn right here, go through that window. Okay, there's a hatch to your left. You're going to open that up and go up through there. There's a chute. Come through the chute, and it leads to outside of the building. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He's that kind of spirit. I love him today. Guardian of the gates, and we're going from gates to guarding our gates to guarding the galaxies, defending, protecting, and keeping. The importance of this, there are some crucial elements that are going to provide this position for us successfully, and that's our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Now, when we look at Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to turn there really quickly. I meant to have it open before I got on here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 21 around there. I'm going to read that for you really quickly. Very familiar passage of scripture for those that are avid Bible readers. This is not going to be anything that is going to be strange to your ears. But I'm going to start at verse 20. I'm going to start at verse 18. It says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh." Now, here's a verse that's very familiar to you. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Then there are some other instructions after that. "Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." These are instructions that are given to give us what we need to do as far as how we need to guard a thing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? What I want to deal with here is the ears and the eyes. And I want you to look at verse 21, because there's a principle here that is very important. Outside of the principle that words are important and that there are some words that are invaluable for us to have in order to walk out these principles. But verse 21 says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." In other words, the thing that you're going to view with your eyes, the thing that you're going to identify and look on, because, you know, I say this all the time, we're observing to do a thing. Observance is just about doing. That's why you've got to be careful of what you're observing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So let them not depart from thine eyes. Why? You're going to keep them in the midst of your heart. If you can keep your eyes focused on a thing, that thing's going to get in your heart. That's why people have issues with pornography. That's why people have issues with opposite sex relationships, because they're focused on a thing, and that focus has gotten in their heart, and now their eye has been contaminated. You know, the Bible begins to talk about if your eye be single. I'm not going to get into no deep thing about that, because it's not talking about your two eyes. It's another part of you that is discussing, and that part of you is a spiritual eye, and that eye receives the information and the dialogue from outside of you that creates imagination and pictures, that creates the action of your images. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So Proverbs 4:21 says, "Give ear and let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." That verse 23 says, "Guard your heart with all diligence." We're talking about guard, defend, and protect, and keep. Defend, protect, and keep your heart. What is that? That's the core of who you are. That's the very epicenter. That's command center. That's headquarters. Keep that with all diligence. I want you to think of a fortified city right now. What does this have to do with keeping sex in contact? Everything. Because what you view is what you're going to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What you allow yourself to continually hear is what you're continually consuming. It's like what you're eating. You understand what I'm saying? It's a spiritual consuming at this point. It's not when you're using your fork, that's a physical, but this is a spiritual consuming. This is a spiritual partaking of with your eyes and your ears, and that thing that's penetrating your heart, that's all a spiritual thing, but it's no different. It can create dis-ease in your body. It can create dis-ease in your mind. It can create infirmity in your soul. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so this is important that you understand that you've got to core of who you are with all diligence. It's the very instruction that was given to Adam from the beginning, not just these, not in these words, but in a different way. He says, listen, I'm giving you the garden. I'm putting you in this garden to dress and keep it. In other words, I need you to create a culture here, and I need you to guard that culture with everything that you've got. I need you to pay attention to what's going on in the environment. I need you to keep it. I need you to guard it. I need you to protect it, because this is the place that we come together and we have fellowship. And this is important, because as you are coming into the knowledge of some things in this part of your life, you're realizing some things about yourself, the places that you've been, the people that you've been connected to. Every now and then, those things may come up. They're not things that you actually forget. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They can be taken out of your soul, though. You don't have to operate from a soul operation because you've been in those places, but they're things that you don't forget. They are things that you're connected to forever. They are images, all kinds of things. They are sayings, all kinds of things that will come up in your life as a result of places that you've been. That's why it's important that this message be taught, because there's a generation that's behind us, a couple of generations actually, that are coming up behind us, and some are right close on our heels that don't have this word of the Lord that's going to protect them, that's going to put them in a place of prosper. I'm telling you right now that when these things are taught, it causes prosperity to be in your walls. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you keep everything else out your gate, when you're able to keep your enemies out of your gates, they're not able to come in and steal the valuables. They're not able to come in and steal that thing that God has considered to be a great treasure. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And then the treasure is built up, and then the value goes through the roof. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So this is important. I want to go to First Chronicles really quick, 26, and I need to have these things marked because I forget that the broadcast is not as long. I want to try to run through here really quickly because I've got a couple more things that I want to share with you. First Chronicles. Help me, Holy Spirit. That's around Ezra. Here we go. First Chronicles. Let's go. First Chronicles 26. I want to read 12 through 18. I know I'm not going to get through all of this, so we'll be right back to it. First Chronicles 26, 12 through 18. I hope you guys are writing these verses down. These are going to be important for you, not just for you, but for your children and your children's children. These are principles that you want to teach. And I always share this verse, the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. And once we understand that that's the duty, that's why you were born, to be conformed into the image of God, to keep his commandments, to fear him, to reverence him, to honor him, then that positions you to operate in the likeness and image that you were created in, and you're not compromised. First Chronicles 26, 12 through 18, it says this: among these were divisions of porters, even among the chief men. It's talking about gatekeepers. That word porter there is one who opens and closes a thing. That's a gatekeeper. Even among the chief men, having wards one against another, to minister in the house of the Lord. I need you to understand, these are people that have a specific mindset. They have a specific position. They have the fear of God. They're in a position where they are to minister before the Lord. They're not just given. Nobody just random is given this position. So when we're talking about you yourself, that means your position needs to be in a place of reverence. It needs to be in a position of fearing of God, because in order for you to really guard a gate, you've got to have a certain mentality, okay? And they cast lots, all as well, the small as the great, according to the house of their fathers for every gate. And the lot eastward fell to Shelemiah, then for Zechariah, his son, a wise counselor. Understand, he's wise. He's been given a position, and the wisdom that he possesses is an invaluable thing for him to possess to even guard the gates. You need wisdom to guard gates. They cast lots, and his lot came out northward to Obed-Edom, southward, and to his sons, the house of Asapim, to Shupim and Hosa. The lot came forth westward with the gate Shalaketh by the causeway of the going up ward against ward. Eastward were six Levites, northward four a day, and toward Asapim two and two at Parbar. Westward, four at the causeway and two at... Okay, I want to get past this. These are the divisions of the porters among the sons of Korah and among the sons of Merari. This is important because you need to understand that the Levites, it says it was, they were over the treasures of the house of God and over the treasures of the house of God and over the dedicated thing. Oh, my God. You need to understand that your body is a treasure to God. And it should be a dedicated thing. It should be the thing that's a living sacrifice in this season. It ought to be offered up as a living sacrifice. That's the least that you can do. There was another point that I wanted to make in here, that you have to understand that attacks are going to be coming from every side. When we start talking about garden gates, you need to understand that there are different four sides to the gates. And so every side needs the same amount of security and surveillance and keeping. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It needs the same amount of dedication to defend and protect. Are you listening to me? That was the other point I wanted to make. Let's talk about Samson real quick. I want to talk about Samson because we didn't really get a chance to talk about him. We mentioned Joseph last week, and Joseph's position was solid because he understood how to guard his heart. He was put in some positions where he could have really just kind of thrown in the towel and just given up, but he had a dream before him. He had something that God had divinely deposited in him, and because of this divine deposit, which is what you have to have, you got to have a vision for your life. I talk to people all the time about having a relational plan. Just like people have business plans, you should have a relational plan. How you're going to relate to yourself and how you're going to relate to people. How you're going to allow people to relate to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that all, how they relate to you is going to be is going to be based on how you relate with yourself and how you allow yourself to be either opened or closed in the various areas. So we talked about Joseph, but I want to talk about Samson because this is important that we note that Samson had his guard completely down. That's how he got, you know, in the position that he was in because his guard was down. He was not guarding his gates at all. He was like a man, a city without walls. That's a compromised place. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Enemies can get in from every side. And so he was compromised because, first of all, he had a situation with his wife. And after that situation, he just kind of went into a tailspin. And I've heard a lot of people over my lifetime that have had these issues with a situation in a relationship. And after that relationship, they were pretty decent people maybe. But then after that relationship, they just went on and became whores professionally. You know, I tried to do it the celibate way, or I tried to do it the monogamous way is what I was trying to say. And, you know, this person messed over me, so now I'm just going to screw everything. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You got to guard your gates because sometimes really the reality is you're offering up the treasures. You're offering up this sacred, dedicated thing that doesn't even belong to the dog that you're offering it to. You're giving it to a pig, and a pig is just going to trample it, and it's going to trample you and try to eat you at the end of the day. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So you have to be in connection with Holy Spirit in this season to know the divine connections that God is making concerning your life. I believe that we are in a season of divine connections, mergers, and marriages. We have not come out of that. There are fascinating things that God desires to do in connecting people and merging people and in marrying people in this season for the sake of kingdom advancement. And so it is imperative that you not be in a place where you're so hurt from past experiences that you can't trust anymore. God's going to bring you to a place of trust again, but you're going to need to rely on him. You're going to need to depend on him because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to lead and guide you into the truth of every matter that you're facing in this season. So when we talk about Samson, he was completely compromised. And I need you to understand that error is not a one-time event. It's not an encounter. It's not an experience. It's a path. And so what the enemy desires to do is to get you on the path of error because it just ever increases more and more detrimental to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I need you to understand this, though, that guarding doesn't mean that no challenge will be made. If you look at the master, he was guarded on every side. But after he was not only validated, after he was heralded and validated by his father from the heavens, he was led of the Holy Spirit into a wilderness situation. You're going to be challenged. But that's what fathers do. Fathers put us in a position to challenge us, to extend us, to grow us, to stretch us, to have the capacity that we need to be all that we've been called to be. So let's go back to the top for a minute because things begin with personal self-denial and governance. You got to be the land of the Lord of your personal land. That's the original dominion. And then you'll have that original dominion over the earth and over all the things that concern the dominion that God has given. We don't want to be men and women without walls because God blesses boundaries. Are you listening to what I'm saying? His blessing is in the boundaries that he sets. Are you listening to me? The children of Israel, the Hebrew children, they go into the land of promise, but there are boundaries that are set. On their way, the Father explicitly tells them, there are some lands that you're going through. You're not to try to overtake their land or overthrow them. This is their land. I gave it to them. Don't take anything from them. Whatever you get from them, pay for it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You got to have boundaries and understand the boundaries in order for the blessing to really be beneficial to you. You know, a lot of times people don't get benefit from the blessing because they're trying to do things outside of the boundaries. And when you start operating outside of the boundaries of what God has blessed, then you don't get the full benefits. You're not operating in the full potential of the blessings of God. There's so much I wanted to say tonight, and we've got a few minutes, so I'm just going to go ahead. When something is of value, it needs to be guarded. It needs to be protected from intruders that desire to take it and possess it for their own power, for their own status, for their own position. You know, the Bible declares that if we be faithful over a few things, God will make us rulers. This is a principle. You got to be faithful over the things that have been given you already, and then you'll rule in a higher realm. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't get more added to you until you handle the things that have been given to you. When we look at the parable of the talents, this man gives three people talents. He gives the one, he gives another one two, and I believe he gives another one five. At the point that he comes back, because he's looking for something, and I'm telling you right now, I'm declaring to you in this season, God is expecting something. He has an expectation of you, just like we're expecting God to move a specific way. We're expecting a certain manifestation. God is expecting manifestation from you in this season, because there are some deposits that he has made, and there are some shifts that have been made to accommodate what's in you, to cause the flourishing and the growth and the full potency of the seed that's been deposited in you to come forth in this season. He's looking for something. So when we look at that parable of the man that's given the talents something, what is he expecting? He's expecting that those that he gave the talents to, that they have multiplied a thing. That is the whole creation of mankind. That is a part of our whole makeup. It's a part of the image and likeness of God, that we would multiply a thing. And I say this all the time, and I believe it bears repeating every time, because the enemy really is not after you personally. He's after the manifestation that you have the ability to bring forth. You know, he is after that manifestation. He's okay with you as long as you're sitting on the sidelines and you're talking a bunch and you're not doing nothing. If you're talking about it and you're not being about it, he's good with that. You could talk a good game. But when you start getting in the position to manifest, when you start positioning yourself to multiply, when you start positioning yourself to actualize the replenishing anointing that's on your life, that's when the enemy has an issue. He wants to deal with you when you're in the birthing stages. He wants to deal with you even before that, in the developmental stages of what God is doing concerning you. He wants to deal with that thing because he wants you to abort the thing that God has deposited. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So this is important. When you look at Noah, Noah's an example of a pure seed. This is an uncompromising seed, no mixing. This is why they were saved and other people were not. Because even, and I'm going to tell you this, because God is so merciful and he's so faithful. He's always been in the position in his heart and in his mind concerning mankind. And even though you're mixed up, even though there's a mixing that's taking place, if you can hear me, if you can see me, then I'll deliver you. These people, because of the mixing and the severity of the mixing, could not separate themselves from this mixing. And there's a verse for that that I just read this week. It was talking about, I believe it's in Daniel. It discusses the kings. It discusses the kings or the powers that are going to rise up. And it talks about the mixing of clay and iron. If you go to that, it's in Daniel. It's talking about the feet of the statue. In the dream that Daniel had that was troubling him, the feet of clay and iron, and how the iron and the clay, they were mixing, but they really don't mix together, so the iron couldn't stick to the clay. It's just, that's a prophetic rabbit hole that I'm not going to go down, but I threw it out there because I know I got people on here who are hearing what I'm saying, and you're going to go search out a matter. You're going to go dig out some things. So Noah was a pure seed. He was uncompromised. He was not mixing. Are you hearing me? Because destruction came as a result of the mixing. And what you don't understand is that in your life, as you are connecting with the people that you're connecting with and you're interchanging the way you're interchanging intimately and sexually, what you're doing is you're causing a contamination, a mixing, a dilution of the potency of who you are is being diluted, and you are not in full strength. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And that's what the enemy desires to do. When you look at the scripture, it talks about the sons of God mating with the daughters of men. That created Nephilim in the land. That created giants. Giants, these people who were against God. They were warriors. They had great strength, but they were against God. And that's the thing that you're creating in your life when you start making these connections intimately with people that are unauthorized. You create Nephilim-like habits in your life. You create Nephilim behaviors and patterns. You create Nephilim spirit, and then you're operating against God instead of with him, which was the design of God for you to be a co-creator. If this is a partnership, it's not just him working, it's not just you working on your own. It's a partnership, and God wants to train you to do what you were created to do. So we don't want to be in this position where we're in this place of contamination. This is what contaminated the nation, foreign women and foreign worship and strange fire. This is the thing that God's taken us away from in the season. And so I want to just decree and declare to you today that wherever you are, God's coming to bring deliverance to your household. If you can hear this word of the Lord, understand that his desire is your deliverance. His desire is your deliverance. And the next time we talk to you, we're going to lend further information about your deliverance in this way. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Until the next time we come together, listen, if you need to get in touch with me, KingdomAmbassadors247@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook and Periscope and Twitter at Apostle Crystal Lee. I love you till the next time I see you. We are blessed. You are blessed, and I don't want you to forget it. Love you so much.